Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, entitled Glories of Devotional Service. This is text number 28.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Anjasan Vasanava
Anjasan Vasanava
Aham
Aham
Devahute Uvacha
Devahute Uvacha
Kachitva Yuchita Bhakti
Kachitva Yuchita Bhakti
Kidrishi Mama Kauchara
Kidrishi Mama Kauchara
Yaya Paramte Nirvanam
Yaya Paramte Nirvanam
Anjasan Vasanava
Translation. On hearing the statement of the Lord, Devahuti inquired, what kind of devotional service is worth developing and practicing to help me easily and immediately attain the service of your lotus feet? You can repeat. On hearing the statement of the Lord,
Devahuti
inquired,
inquired,
whether one is a woman or a laborer or a merchant, if he engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, he is promoted to the highest perfectional state and goes back home, back to Godhead. The devotional service most suitable for different types of devotees is determined and fixed by the mercy of the spiritual master. Om Agyantim Anandasya Ginangina Shalakaya Chakshun Tetam Jinatasmai Sigurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Shapitam Yana Putale Shwayam Rupa Kata Mayam Dhanantra Sarvadanti Kam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Maharshivasa Yoga Vardhana Vimrandam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Shri Om Om Pradam Tathakara Tegate Shri Jalatari Kavachana Vodare Vinaka Shvasa Kvasa So this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam is entitled The Glories of Devotional Service. Of course, there are many glories of devotional service. Perhaps the most significant thing about devotional service is that one captures the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, don't try to see Krishna. Try to act in such a way that Krishna will see you. So by performing activity with devotion, one can actually attract the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. It's described that God is the Supreme Controller by definition. If we look up the definition of God in the dictionary, we'll see that it's stated that God is that being who is the Supreme Controller. But the mystery of Vaishnava philosophy, Krishna consciousness, is that through devotion, devotional service, one can control God. Just like Srimati Radharani. Krishna is called Madan Mohan. He's the attractor of many cupids. But Radharani, she is Madan Mohan Mohini. She is the attractor of that attractor of many cupids. In other words, she attracts Krishna by her devotional service. Although God is the supreme controller, no one can control God. Srimati Radharani, by her loving devotional service, we call her Bhakti Devi. She is the abode or the embodiment of Bhakti. She actually controls Krishna. And Krishna, he becomes, although he is the supreme controller, supreme being, to whom everyone is serving, he becomes subservient to his devotee. That is the sweetness of Krishna consciousness, that one can enjoy many different transcendental relationships with the Lord, not simply awe and reverence, but one can also enjoy the relationship of parental rasa with the Lord, conjugal rasa with the Lord. In this way, through devotion or devotional service, Krishna, who is unconquerable, Ajita, he becomes conquered. So there are many glories of devotional service. Again, that is the title of this chapter, The Glories of Devotional Service. Perhaps the most wonderful thing is that Krishna becomes controlled by the love of his devotee. So, Devahuti, being a devotee, naturally she is inquiring into the science of Krishna consciousness, how to practice devotional service. Specifically, she is asking today, what type of devotional service is worth developing and practicing to help me easily and immediately attain the service of your lotus feet? So, it is a duty, as Prabhupada mentions here, that whatever type of service we take up, that is to be determined and fixed by the mercy of the spiritual master. So it's the duty of the disciple to inquire into the process of devotional service. Pari-prashana-sevaya means that we should approach the spiritual master or the devotees of the Lord, and pari-prashana, we should ask relevant inquiries how to take up the process of Krishna consciousness. That is the purpose of having a spiritual master, to learn how to serve Krishna. So one should ask relevant inquiries, pari-prashana-sevaya. Submissively, one should inquire, how do I take up Krishna consciousness? One should not ask irrelevant questions. One time we were with Srila Prabhupada in Paris, and Prabhupada was giving a darshan, and one lady guest, Prabhupada asked a question, so this lady raised her hand. And she said, Swamiji, I'd like to ask you a question. So Prabhupada was welcoming questions. Oh, very nice, he said, very nice. So she said, and he said, what is your question? So Prabhupada said, Pari Krishna, this is very good, making inquiry into devotional service, asking the spiritual master how to practice devotional service. What is your question? She said, can you tell me what I was in my last life? So Prabhupada paused for a minute, and he said, yes, I can tell you. And then he just stopped. She was sitting there waiting for the answer, and then no answer came. So she said, Swamiji, you said you know what I was in my last life, and you told me. And Prabhupada said, this is not a very important question. He said, it's not important what you were in your last life, but it is important what you are going to be in your next life by accepting this process of Krishna consciousness. But that didn't satisfy her. She said, but you know what I was in my last life, why didn't you tell me? Prabhupada, this is not a very important question. So in that way, we can understand that we should ask pari-prashana. We should ask questions which are relevant to devotional service. The spiritual master, he is the representative of the Supreme Lord. He is the devotee, the best devotee. So we should inquire from him how to take up the process. And we shouldn't ask irrelevant questions. We should pose questions, how can I advance Krishna consciousness? And actually the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is a series of questions and answers to clarify what is devotional, what is a living entity, what is devotional service, and who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam is simply questions and answers between different devotees, relevant questions. Another example of irrelevant question, it's mentioned in those little Prabhupada Nectar books. One time, when Papa was in the Grihastha ashram, he was walking on the street with one of his young sons, and a marriage party went by. So Papa's son was just a little boy. So he inquired from his father, what is this wildest festive atmosphere? So Papa tried to explain as best he could what was a marriage and why these people were getting married, what was the ceremony all about. So he explained like this, and then a little bit later on, the young boy asked, but Daddy, are you married? So again, irrelevant question. Obviously the father must be married, otherwise how does he have children? So the young boy is asking an irrelevant question, and there's no result. So like that, Devahuti is teaching us how to ask questions which are beneficial for our advancement in devotional service. To whom is she asking the question? In other words, two things are necessary to be successful in devotional service. There must be the sincere candidate, the proper disciple, and there must be the bona fide devotee or spiritual master. Both those things are necessary. If the spiritual master is bogus, then there'll be no result. And if the disciple is bogus, also there'll be no result. And Prabhupada gives the example of the man and the woman. If the man is potent and the woman is fertile, then by their combination, a child will be produced. So if the disciple knows, or the devotee knows properly, how to inquire about the devotional service of the Lord, and he's inquiring from the proper person, then he has to make advancement if he takes up those instructions, because it is a scientific process. But those two elements are essential. The bona fide disciple and the bona fide spiritual master. So, obviously, Devahuti is the bona fide disciple because she's asking this question. How, what type of devotional service is best for me to become, to easily and immediately attain the service of your lotus feet? So, and of course, she's inquiring from the perfect personality, the supreme personality of God in Himself. So we should know to whom to place the question. Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, because you are my devotee as well as my friend, you can understand the transcendental mystery of the science. So people should know to whom they must inquire about Krishna consciousness. Last year at the Kumbh Mela, there were many thousands of different groups speaking about spiritual life. We had our ISKCON camp, and next to our ISKCON camp were so many Shankaracharya camps. So just out of curiosity, I walked out of the ISKCON camp and walked over to the Shankaracharya camp. I wanted to hear, just out of curiosity, although it's dangerous, I'm not supposed to hear from them, I wanted to hear what they had to say. So the first thing I was so surprised was that outside their tent, they have so many, they, you know, in Kumbh Mela, they have many of these neon signs. This is modern-day Kumbh Mela, not like the old days. Everybody had very loud, blaring music over loudspeakers and all kinds of flashy signs. Any gimmick they could get to get people to come into their camp, because there was so much competition. There were thousands of different groups. Everybody had competition to get the people in. But the one thing I noticed that was very surprising and very misleading, in all cases except our camp, was that everyone was talking about Krishna. The Mayavadis, they had portraits of Krishna, you know, Gopal Krishna, baby Krishna, and Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill outside of their tents to attract the people. And inside they were chanting Krishna bhajans. So I thought, this is very strange. Wow. How is it that they're speaking about Krishna when they're Mayavadis? So with one other devotee who was an interpreter, we went inside. And they were actually speaking about Bhagavan, Krishna, so forth. But then gradually, as the time went on, the whole conversation, the whole lecture turned over that, you know, you are Bhagavan, and you are Krishna. By accepting us in this path, and you can merge into the Supreme Brahman like this. So they were also speaking about Krishna. So someone thinks that because they are speaking about Krishna, I can go to that person and inquire about the process of devotional service to attain the lotus feet of the Lord, and he's very much mistaken. Because simply they're cheating. They're using Krishna. They want to become Krishna, so to speak. So they're also speaking about Krishna, but it has a poisonous effect. You're hearing about Krishna, but eventually you want to become one with Krishna. So Prabhupada compares this to drinking milk which has been touched by the lips of a serpent. In India, it's the custom sometimes that a bowl of milk will be placed on the windowsill to cool. And sometimes it may be that a snake comes and drinks that milk, because snakes, they like to drink milk because it makes their venom more powerful. This is nature's arrangement. The snake drinks milk, its venom becomes that much more powerful. But after the snake has touched that milk, what happens? The milk becomes poisonous. And although you may not be able to see it, the poisonous effect will be there. So in the same way, devotees are forbidden to hear from Mayavadis. This was my mistake that day. We learned a good lesson. Actually, Prabhupada's purports came to life. Because we could see how these people were using Krishna. Just like, how many times has Prabhupada discussed in his purports how people, you know, take the Bhagavad Gita, which is the literal word of Krishna, and they use it for their own means. They, because it's such a famous book, they make some commentary. But because they're not actually devotees, they cannot enter into the true understanding of the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, they can't give a proper purport. Therefore, anyone who reads that book, it has no effect. But the effect is that if you hear about Krishna submissively from a devotee, even if you may have no qualities, the Devahuti is a very simple woman, but she's hearing from her spiritual master, who happens to be the Supreme Personality of God. And what is the effect? That her devotional service is awoken. Shushu Shrashanadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sien Mahasevya Punyachakra Sevaya. By serving those souls who are free from vice, or free from sin, Vaishnavas, great service is done. And by that service, one gains an affinity or desire to hear about the Supreme Personality of God. So bhakti, or devotional service, is dependent upon nothing else than our eagerness to attain it from a Vaishnava, from a devotee of the Lord. If we submissively hear about Krishna from the lips of a realized soul, what is the effect? That our Krishna consciousness, which is dormant in the heart, it becomes manifest. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnushmaram. Just by hearing and chanting about Krishna under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, naturally one's Krishna consciousness will become manifest. And the proof of that is that Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita has brought forth the Krishna consciousness of so many Vaishnavas all over the world. Whereas so many erudite scholars and different persons translated Bhagavad Gita, there were thousands of editions of Bhagavad Gita, but no one became a devotee of Krishna. But when Prabhupada, who is a pure devotee of Krishna, when he spoke on Bhagavad Gita, even just a few words, a person was ready to surrender and give their entire life. So that's why Prabhupada said that the chanting of Hare Krishna, which includes the Bhagavatam philosophy, the philosophy of the Gita, he said it's best to hear it from the lips of a pure devotee. Then it can have an immediate effect. Even just a brief association. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarvashastukoi, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Siddhi. Lava Matra means that if you associate with a devotee of the Lord, even briefly, even for a few moments, your Krishna consciousness can be awoken. This is the miracle of devotional service. So we should know two things. First of all, we should be the proper disciples. We should be the proper candidate for Krishna consciousness. We should approach the proper authority with the desire to render service and inquire submissively how to engage in Krishna consciousness. And we should approach the proper authority, the devotee of the Lord. Another example I can remember, when we first started doing traveling Sangatan in America in the early 1970s, we'd just been devoted. This is 1970, we started doing traveling Sangatan. And so we decided we would go visit some universities. This was in the Midwest. So we'd only been devotees like 12 months or something, but we were ready to challenge any big university professor or whoever it may be. Because we knew we had perfect knowledge. It may not be very realized, but still, we were very bold. So we went to one university, and we went to the religious department or philosophical department. They were together. And we asked if there was any courses being taught, you know, about Eastern religion. So it just happened there was one course. And it so happened that that course was dealing about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So we were just amazed. And being a little bit naive, we thought, oh, we can go and hear, you know, this, we'll go to the class and hear about the Goswamis. So when we went into the classroom, the professor was actually speaking about, you know, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, was speaking about the Bhakti Rasa Mita Sindhu and different ways. And we were just stunned. We said, this is wonderful. And then our Sanatana leader turned to us and he said, this is all poison. So I said, how do you even say this is talking about the Goswamis? He said, but this man is a nonsense. He's just a mundane professor. So he said, oh yes. So, but the proof for us was after the lecture, listen like this, neither we were very much inspired. And after the lecture, when there was a break, all the students, they went out and started lighting up cigarettes and putting their arms around their girlfriends. So I was thinking, wait a minute now, if actually they're actually hearing spiritual knowledge, and the result of hearing bona fide spiritual knowledge, then one will give up this tendency for materialistic activity. But these people are remaining just as involved as before. So here we're speaking about the proper subject matter. They're also speaking about the glories of devotional service. But because neither the professor nor the candidates, the students, are bona fide, it's all bogus. So the professor goes to hell, and the students also go to hell. That's the result. So this is a point which Srila Prabhupada would speak about again and again and again and again. To whom we must hear about Krishna. And what are our qualifications for hearing from that person? Now we can be sure and certain, in our case, that we have no doubt that we're inquiring from the proper person, Srila Prabhupada, or his representative, or spiritual master. That's no problem. That half is solved. Now what we have to work on is becoming the proper candidate. Again, two things are necessary. Bona fide teacher and bona fide disciple. So by the Lord's mercy, Ramanda Bhavadikam, Bhagavanji, Guru Krishna Prashad, Hare Bhakti Lata Beach. By the mercy of the Lord, we've come in contact with Srila Prabhupada, with this movement, the bona fide spiritual master. Now, we must be like Devahuti. We must inquire what type of devotional service is worth developing and practicing to easily and immediately attain the devotional service of the Lord. Because there are different types of devotional service. This is discussed elaborately throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. In other words, what we ultimately call devotional service is pure devotional service, a high dukkhiya pratiyata. That type of devotional service completely satisfies the self. But other persons are also engaged in service to God. But that is described in Bhagavatam very often to be quite common dharma, or cheating. They approach the Supreme Lord with some material desire. Actually, Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita there's four classes of men who approach him. Persons who are curious, persons who are in distress, persons who are in need of money, and then the person who is wise. And Krishna glorifies all, they're all great souls, he says, but the greatest is the one who's looking for knowledge. Because he doesn't want any material enumeration from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, all of them are engaged perhaps in devotional service, but with some motive in mind. And certainly if one has a motive in mind, one can attain pure devotional service. Anivilasita sunya, jnana karmanavi, anupanena krishna, shilanam bhakti. What type of devotional service? Rupa Goswami explains what type of devotional service. Devotional service should be performed without a desire for material profit or gain through material activity or mental speculation. That type of devotional service is called pure. That type of devotional service, you can attain Krishna's lotus feet in an instant. If we could just chant one name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, purely, immediately we'd be Krishna conscious. But because the heart is filled with an artist, we have a mixed desire. We want to serve Krishna, but at the same time we maintain some material attachments. Therefore, when we chant the holy name, tears don't come to our eyes. The hairs in our body don't stand on end. We don't feel shivering in the body, and we don't lose consciousness. This is described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the Madhurya Kandamini, that one should not say, I don't commit offenses. One should not think like that. One should think that because I am still committing offenses in the chanting of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Therefore, when I chant Hare Krishna, tears don't flow from my eyes. Or as we were just saying a few minutes ago, your holy name alone can render all benediction upon the living entities. Thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda, etc. You're so merciful that you've invested all your transcendental energies in these holy names. Unfortunate as I have no attraction. So that is our state. Actually, this is a very relevant verse, a very important verse, because she's asking, what type of devotional service can I perform so that I can immediately attain your your lotus feet.
In other words, I can immediately have the darshan, or I can immediately pick up pure devotion. What can I do to attain that? That is our question. Pariprashana Seva doesn't just, it's not just there in the beginning, but it carries on throughout one's life. Actually, it carries on forever. We're always inquiring from our spiritual master, the devotees, how we can increase our devotional service to Krishna, how we can purify our devotional service. So this is a very relevant question that she's asking. So she's asking how to develop pure devotional service. Opposite of pure devotional service is mixed devotional service. And what type of mixture can there be? Again, that is described by Rupa Goswami. A desire for fruitive activity, or some mental state, or jnana and karma. Approaching the Lord with some material motive, or speculating on the position of the Lord, wanting to merge with the Lord. These are the type of impurities that can manifest, even in devotional service. As we know, I forget what part of the Bhagavatam, in the third canto, Uddhava asked Vidura to approach Maitreya. But in the purport, Srila Prabhupada describes Maitreya as being a jnana-bhakti, jnana-mishra, jnana-bhakti, meaning that his understanding of the Lord was tinged with some type of jnana, or in other words, some type of desire perhaps to emphasize the impersonal aspect of the Lord. So here's a great devotee, Maitreya. The Lord, or rather, Uddhava is telling Vidura, you go approach him. Take shelter of Maitreya. Of course, Maitreya also heard from Uddhava, so he became completely purified. But he was being described as a great devotee of the Lord, Maitreya. He's a great devotee of the Lord, but still, there was some mixture there. So even at that stage of devotional service, where he had a personal association with such great devotees as Uddhava, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, still, even at that advanced stage, there was still some tinge of jnana or karma. So what to speak of us? We're just beginning. We're looking at Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj, actually he was experiencing these different transformations of ecstasy. His chanting was so pure, his heart was so pure, that when he chanted the holy names of the Lord, or engaged in the process of Krishna consciousness, he would feel so many ecstatic symptoms. But there must have been something there, because at one point a little deer came into his life, and he developed an affection for that deer. And as a result of developing affection for that deer, he fell down from his devotional practices, and he gave up, he fell down, and Krishna consciousness became, well, we all know the story, he became a deer, and then he became a Jatavara, or Bharata Jatavara. So, again, this is a very relevant question. How we can purify our Krishna consciousness so that we can have a pure devotional service. So, what are those impurities that we have to rid ourselves of? That is also explained in the Shikshastakam. The Shikshastakam prayers by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are very complete in themselves. Na dhanam na janam na sundari kavicham va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanish bhavatan bhakriya. I have no desire to enjoy, to accumulate wealth. Neither do I want to enjoy beautiful women. Neither do I want a number of followers of mine. All that I want is that I might have your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth. So until we come to that point where we actually only desire devotional service to the Lord, birth after birth, that must mean that there's some tinge of dhanam janam sundari within the heart still. Otherwise, why do we repeat that verse every day? Because it's applicable to the neophyte devotee. There's something there in the heart for wealth, something there to enjoy the opposite sex, something there for name and fame or reputation. And these are obstacles in the path of devotional service. So we repeat this over and over again, because in order to actually attain pure devotional service, we have to know what are the obstacles so that we can avoid them. So, what to do? We are chanting in the offensive stage, and the heart still has this contamination. So how can we make progress if these offenses are still being made? Well,
Vishnu Chakravarti Prabhupada, he described that that is the glories of the holy name, that if we just keep chanting sincerely, then we don't willingly take up those obstacles, then we can make progress. The reason that Bharat Maharaj fell down was not because of some previous sinful activity, not because of his karma. The Prabhupada said because of a willing disobedience to the injunction of the scriptures. That's actually why he fell down. So all those things may be in our heart. If we don't act on them, we keep chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, sincerely every day. Although those things may be, they may be obstacles to our pure chanting. If we just you're a good leader, if only because you know properly how to engage your men. You know properly how to engage your men who are working under you in devotional service. So it's a great science. Because being in this material world, under the influence of the different modes of nature, there are different types of personalities. That's the beauty of the Varnashram system. The Varnashram Dharma situates us in a particular ashram, in a particular varna. We can very comfortably do what? Become materially successful? No. That's ultimately not the purpose of the Varnashram Dharma. Dadi Varnashram, that is the system that we study. Ultimately, the Varnashram Dharma system is meant to situate us in such a way that we can comfortably execute devotional service. For some persons, it may be more comfortable to be a sannyasi. For someone else, it may be more comfortable to be a grihastha. But it's not necessarily because someone is a sannyasi that he's more advanced than a grihastha. Because Narottam Das Thakur, he says, whether one is grihastha or tyagi, sannyasi, if that person is purely chanting the holy names, I want that person's association. So the ultimate point is not so much what we're doing, although the science is there, the Varnashram system is there to situate us nicely. But the point is to be Krishna conscious in how we're doing it. Just like in deity worship. In deity worship, even around in our own society, there's a difference in the details. Like some temples, they may offer so many circles of incense, but some other temple may offer a different timing, whatever. But Prabhupada said the important thing is that you do it with as much devotion as you can. We follow the rules and regulations of devotional service, but we try to do it with as much devotion as possible. So the authorities, the leader, and the spiritual master, they must know how to engage the devotees in such a way that they'll be comfortably situated so that they can practice Krishna consciousness with devotion. Now, in the nectar devotion is described that there are different types of activity. There's capricious activity, and there's routine activity, and there's emergency activity. So, sometimes the authorities may engage us in the routine activity. Accordingly, someone may like to take care of cows, so naturally let that person take care of it. Somebody else may like to cook, so let them cook. But then again, there's emergency work. So one should be willing to accept whatever instruction the authority gives, because one can make advancement in both situations. One can make advancement doing what comes naturally for him, and one can also make advancement by taking up the emergency work in Krishna consciousness. What is that emergency work? Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Prabhupada said, when did I ever say this preaching is easy? So it may not be very easy to go on Sankirtan, but it's emergency. There's a need. Just like in a war, people are engaged in different occupational activities. And then the government realizes there's an emergency, so so many men have to be called up, irregardless of what is their profession. Everyone has to take a gun and fight on the battlefield. So similarly, all of us are required to take up the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, that's also according to our ability. But this is, after all, a preaching movement, missionary movement. And one may think, oh, I'm not qualified to preach, or I'm not ready to preach, but that is not the case. Simply, if we're willing to follow the instruction of our authority or the spiritual master to take up preaching activity, then that is our qualification, then we become qualified. So we avoid capricious work, but sometimes we're engaged in routine work, and sometimes under the direction of our authorities, we take up emergency work. But whatever service we get, it should be handed down to us through authority. That's the safest way.
If one thinks, I'll make up my own mind what to do in devotional service, that's not devotional service, because devotional service means we offer that service for the pleasure of someone. That is the meaning of service. That is the rasa, that is the taste of service, that we do that service to please someone. So we must inquire from our authorities what type of devotional service I should take up to please you the most. And whether it's routine devotional service or whether during marathons, it's emergency devotional service. If we take it up in that spirit to please our authorities, then we're bound to be successful. It's getting a little late. So, are there any questions? I'll read the verse. On hearing the statement of the Lord, Devahuti inquired, what kind of devotional service is worth developing and practicing to help me easily and immediately attain the service of your lotus feet?
So you're talking about the, you know, the encounter with the Amida these days, and sometimes, well, it's a fact we say that the Lord is named and on different. Therefore, it can be realized in his own name. It also apply that the spiritual abundance of the Lord is the same, that the spiritual indulgence of the Brahmana is the same as the Lord. So, in the ultimate thing, the argument may be, well, there's no difference anyway.
Well, there's a difference between an impersonalist and a mayavadi. There's many examples of impersonalists who have become devotees because they are, in actuality, meditating on a bona fide quality of the Lord, his impersonal effulgence. And because they're not envious of the Lord, if they come in contact with the devotee or some process of Krishna consciousness, then they can naturally become devotees. It's like Shukadeva Goswami. He was a monist in the womb of his mother, and he saw no reason to come out, because for a monist, what's the difference between in and out? It's all the same. It's all one. But then when he heard from his father, Shukadeva, about Krishna consciousness, then he was very eager to come out. Another example is the four Kumaras. They were not envious or blasphemous of the Lord. They were simply meditating on his effulgence. So naturally, when they came in contact, in some places it's mentioned they tasted the tulsi leaves, and elsewhere it's described they smelled the incense offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. Then it was natural evolution for them was to progress and take up devotional service. Because they were impersonalists, but they were not Mayavadi. Now Mayavadi goes out of his way to disclaim the personality of Godhead, or to defame the personality of Godhead, or blaspheme the personality of Godhead. That's the difference between Mayavadi and impersonalist. So, for Mayavadi, it's very difficult to get delivered. It was only by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Prakasanda Saraswati and all the Mayavadis of his camp were actually delivered. Otherwise, it was very difficult. So these three stages, Paramatma, Brahman, and Bhagavan, they're bona fide avatars, all aspects of the Lord, and one may evolve, but if one is a Mayavadi, then his position is very precarious. Any other questions? Yes?
Shri Chaitanya Manovishnam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Shvayam Rupa Gadhamayam Jatanti Shvabhatandikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhar Har Shivasani Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Om Mam Krim Shom Om Tarom Tataka Dege Keshe Vidalat Padugulochana Bhadaraganaka Swarsi Deva Simha Namoshtate. Well, it is very nice to be here at the lotus feet of these beautiful deities of Shishinatai, Gaura Chandra. They are very effulgent and benedicting their Sankirtan devotees with their mercy. One time Srila Prabhupada was installing their lordship Shishi Gaura-Nitai. I believe it was in Atlanta, Georgia, in America. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting on his Vyasasan and he was speaking about the occasion. And he was saying that their lordships Nitai Gaura Chandra are very merciful, and they have come to this far-off, distant region of the world. Because Srila Prabhupada considered Mayapur, of course, to be home. Prabhupada said that Bombay was his office, Vrindavan his place of worship, and Mayapur Dham was his home. So, that is the devotee's feeling, that the holy Dham is the center of the universe. But Srila Prabhupada was commenting how merciful their lordships were to come to such a far out distant part of the world to benedict people with their mercy. Because there is no difference between the deity of the Lord, there is no difference between the holy name of the Lord, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaura Nitai, Lord Nityananda, they very much desired that this Sankirtan movement go to every town and village of the world. So by the mercy of their pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, we now have their association in most of our temples throughout the world to inspire us in our activities of Sri Krishna Sankirtan. So in this regard, there's a nice verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where it is said, O my most merciful Lord Chaitanya, may the nectar in Ganges waters of your transcendental activities flow on the surface of my desert-like tongue, beautifying these waters by the lotus flowers of singing, dancing, and the loud chanting of Krishna's holy name, which are the pleasure abodes of unalloyed devotees. Such devotees are compared to swans, ducks, and bees, and the rivers flowing produces a melodious sound which gladdens their ears. But this is a perfect description of the relationship between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, and their devotees who are spreading the glories of the Sankirtan movement all over the world. So Krishnadas Kaviraj begins by saying, O my most merciful Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, he is the most merciful incarnation. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu technically is not an incarnation. He is not different than the Supreme Lord himself. There are many avatars of the Supreme Lord, but Krishna is avatari. Avatari means that the Lord is the source of all the other avatars. So, technically speaking, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is also avatari. He is not different than the Supreme Lord. Actually, he is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. And in order to taste the sweet mellow of Srimati Radharani's love for him, Krishna combined as two and came in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Simultaneously, it came time for the Yuga Dharma to be given. What is that Yuga Dharma? Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalura Nashdeva 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 Gratiranya. So, simultaneously, the Lord, he propagated the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and by so doing, he tasted the sweetness of Srimati Radharani's love for himself. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered that this is a treasure house of love of God, and he cannot distribute all that mercy alone. So he's calling upon his devotees to assist him in distributing this nectar, this prem, in the form of the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And Srila Rupa Goswami has described, Mano Mahabhada Naya Krishna Prema Vandayate, Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guru Tvisayana Maha. That the Lord is so merciful that he is bestowing freely upon everyone the nectar of this holy name, without making any discrimination. Who is qualified and who is unqualified? Actually, those who are the most unqualified, they get the mercy first. As we have seen in the past times of Jagai and Vandai. Sometimes we hear, but sometimes we put on this play in our temples around the world about Jagai and Vandai. And usually at a Sunday feast, these two rascals, these bad boys, they come stumbling in from some door attached to the temple room, and there everyone gets a good laugh. Jagai is rolling on the ground. It's usually some brahmachari who everyone knows, so it's very humorous to see him portraying the part of a conditioned soul in the material world. And so Jagai and Madhai, they come in, and they have their bottle of wine, and they're slapping each other on the back and making a few bad words and carousing around and doing this and that. And then Nitai, Haridas Thakur, they come and they encourage them to chant. And Jagai and Madhai refuse to chant, and they bang Nitai on the head a little bit with this bottle. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, and they don't chant Hare Krishna, you know, and he delivers them. But actually there was a description in Bengali literature of the real character of Jagai and Madhai. And the actual description is enough to make one's hair stand on end. They were such rascals. Anything sinful that you can think of in this age of Kali, they were doing, and more. They used to rob pilgrims. They used to beat them to death and take their money. They used to kidnap young girls from their homes and molest them, and then also kill them. They used to kill animals, they used to eat meat, they used to butcher animals. They were just like the mafia. The mafia takes money from people by scaring them. In this way, these two personalities, Jagai and Madhai, they were the terror of Navadvipa and Mayapur Dham. The people were terrorized by them. It's difficult for us to actually understand, but if you ever, when you were a young child, seen a horror movie, how afraid you were, it was something like that. The residents of Navadvipa were that much afraid of Jagai and Vandai. So much so that even the police could not control them. They had control over the police, they had control over the people. The whole town, the whole area of Nadia was terrorized by these rascals. They'd done so much sinful activity that they could go to hell for millions and billions of births. But Nityananda, by his mercy, he delivered them. Actually, this is the mercy of Nitai, that the fallen conditioned souls get Mahaprabhu's mercy. If we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, personally, he was delivering the upper class people. Pakashananda Saraswati was a very elevated Brahmin. Of course, he was a Mayavadi, but he was born in an elevated Brahmin family. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was also a great Brahmin. He was the greatest logician of his time. And these personalities, these type of personalities, received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it was Nithai who actually went from Haridas Thakur door to door on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to deliver the most fallen. Sometimes Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, they would go to some householder's door and they would knock. And, well, different things would transpire. Sometimes Nithai, in the mood of Balaram, because of course Nithai is Balaram, going to Tandam, going to Jananda, Krishna Balaram. So sometimes in the mood of Balaram, when the young daughter would answer the door, Nithai would start chasing after her. In the mood of Lord Balaram. Haridas Thakur was more elderly than Lord Nityananda. He would have to stop him. Oh no, what are you doing? So then, Haridas Thakur, being a Namacharya, of the holy names of Krishna, he would ask the people, "We are coming, we are simply beggars at your door. We are asking for nothing, we are simply giving you the holy name of Krishna. Don't rot in this materialistic life. Don't rot in the well of householder life. Our only alms we are begging is that you take this harinam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Chant Hare, Hare, Hare.
Hare, 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 Hare.
Jai Brahmacharis. So, but as typical of people in this age, people were very entrenched in materialistic life. So even the association of such great personalities as the Thai, Haridas Thakur, the people would enchant. So do you know what Lord Nityananda would do? He would get down on the ground and he would begin rolling all throughout their house, rolling here, smashing tables, smashing chairs, knocking down the ghee lamps, going into the curtains, going into the kitchen, knocking all the clay pots, knocking all the facade off the table, this way practically destroying the house. Chant Hari! Chant Hari! Chant Hari! He was saying to the man and the woman, they were practically at their wits' end. All right, we'll chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. So this way, Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, they would go to the most fallen people. And some way or other, they would get them to chant the holy names of Krishna. Some way or other, they would get them to chant the holy names of Krishna. So, when Jagat hit Nityananda on the head with the earthen pot, kind of clay pot, Nityananda Prabhu was not feeling any remorse, he was not feeling any revenge, exemplifying the real mood of a preacher. Titichava parinika suridam sarvadehinam ajitasa tadasanta sadhavasa vushanaha. And a sadhu, which means a real sadhu is a devotee, a Vaishnava, he's titikshava. He's very tolerant because he's full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. How is a devotee full of compassion for everyone? Actually, only a devotee can actually feel compassion. People speak of compassion in the material world in a very sentimental way, but only a devotee can actually feel compassion. Why? Because he does not envy anyone. If you're envying someone's material position, someone's janmashraya shudashvivir, someone's exalted birth, respectable parentage, someone's opulence, someone's education, someone's bodily beauty, in other words, if you're in material consciousness and you're envying someone who has these qualities, so-called qualities, you can't actually feel compassion. The opposite of compassion is envy. So if a devotee, a Vaishnava, is not pure, then he may envy the materialistic people, and his preaching will not be very effective. Therefore, Prabhupada said, you become fixed up in Krishna consciousness, and then you can deliver others. So therefore, it's very important every morning that we chant our 16 rounds very carefully and very attentively. It's very important that we attend the Mangalarti. It's very important that we sit and we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very important that we live in a holy place, like Mathura or Vrindavan, or this Vaikuntha temple. In this way, we can maintain a standard of purity, whereby the Sankirtan movement can expand like anything. Prabhupada said, preaching is the essence, books are the basis, utility is the principle, and purity is the force. Sometimes when I travel around, devotees ask me, what's the best mantra for doing Sankirtan? Whether one is doing books or whether one is doing paraphernalia, Sankirtan, to support projects like Mayapur or the printing of our books or the maintenance of our temples, whatever type of Sankirtan one is performing, they ask, what is the best mantra to use? So Prabhupada has already given the formula. We don't have to add or subtract. He said that purity is enforced. So the more that we can chant the holy name, purely, free from the 10 offenses, the more we can absorb ourselves in this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness, the more effective we will become in our preaching. Because a devotee becomes just like a touchstone. I remember one time in France, we had one devotee, his name was Prabhupada Vigraha. He kept winning every marathon. He was a very shy devotee, very reserved devotee. He wasn't very outgoing. Even when he would speak, he would just go, everyone was wondering, how did this devotee win the marathon each time? But I noticed in the beginning of his career in Krishna consciousness, he would sit down in the morning and he would chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 2.5 hours. It took him a long time to chant his rounds. When that last bead was finished, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Shri Krishna Sankirtan Yogi Ki Jai. Then he would go and he would load up his book bag. He was either chanting the holy name or he was serving the holy name. That was all his life. He was either chanting or serving the holy name by going out and preaching or collecting, whatever the case may be. So every year he used to win the marathon. I used to watch him. He used to follow people down the street for quite a long way. So finally, after one marathon, he was supposed to become a temple president. So in those days, we thought that meant you hung up your Sankirtan shoes. Actually not the case. You become a preacher of Sankirtan. So we asked him, could you finally tell us what is your secret? What is the mantra that you use to convince people to take so many books and give so many donations? So finally he stood up and he said, this is my mantra. Haribo, 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 Haribo. Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. So the next day we went on Sankirtan with him and he allowed some of us to follow him as he was distributing to the people. So as he was going distributing like this, he would simply go up to the people. He had no special thing to say about. He would just go, hey, wall, hey, wall. The people would look at him in the eyes, and they would just reach in their pocket, take out Lakshmi. He'd keep his hand there, hey, wall, hey, wall. Then he'd look at the Lakshmi as much as he'd got. He'd figure out how many books it was worth. He'd look in his book bag, and he'd give him a big set of books. That was in old times, and the new times, perhaps you know Prabhosh Prabhu, who's a very famous book distributor. So recently he's again gone into the airports. So he's very successful at distributing books and so many things. So I asked him also, what is his mantra? He said, "Why not? I have no mantra. I just tell people Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this human form of life is meant for developing love for God. You will be completely happy and satisfied if you read this book. Please give a donation of $10 or $20. So, what is the essential ingredient in both these devotees' sankirtan, regardless of what they are saying, although they're being very direct in their preaching? It's their purity. It's their strong desire to serve their spiritual master and please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is actually our qualification, that we simply take up the order of Guru and Gananda. A devotee may feel very unqualified. Perhaps we only knew doctors, or perhaps we've been in the movement for a few years, or perhaps we don't know enough shlokas, or perhaps we're just a little shy by nature. Of course, it doesn't seem to be the case in this temple, because all I've heard since I came to Australia was this is the most fired up temple for Sankirtan. But anyway, but sometimes I feel a little hesitation. We should know that we are executing the order of Guru and Gauranga. And that order will reign supreme. Just like Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He was like a minnow in an ocean of sharks. It's described. He was just like a minnow in an ocean of sharks. But because he had the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was successful. So the devotee feels that after that is his only qualification, is his sincere desire to execute the order of the spiritual master in Krishna. Because along with that order comes the potency to execute it. Therefore, a devotee is fearless. Because he knows that there's great potency in the instructions of his spiritual master and the Lord. And if he simply tries to his best of his ability, he will always be successful. Even if big results don't come, he's successful because he's faithfully executed the instruction of his spiritual master and the Lord. The result is up to Krishna. But the fact that we are surrendering to their instruction, that is the perfection of life. Therefore, always be victorious. Therefore, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtan Yajna Ki Jai. The Sankirtan movement is always successful because people are always benedicted. Even to see a Vaishnava, they become purified. Even to hear once the holy name of Krishna, they become purified. Actually, one offense of against the holy name is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be exaggeration, isn't it? Or imagination. That is one of the offenses to the holy name. So we should know for certain that so many people have been delivered, even by unconscious chanting of the holy names. Even unconsciously. Prabhupada was very pleased when he saw in the newspaper saying, Hare Krishna cult, brainwashing the people. Prabhupada was blissful. Hare Krishna, I said, Hare Krishna, they're preaching Brihad Mardanga. Just by hearing the holy name of Krishna, people become purified. That is the mercy of the holy name. The Lord is so merciful that in this age He appears in the form of His holy name. O my Lord, Your holy name alone can render all benediction upon the living entities. Thus You have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda, etc. In all these transcendental names, You've invested all of Your transcendental energies and there is no hard and fast rule for the chanting of these names. Unfortunately, as I have no attraction. So no hard and fast rules means however one chants Hare Krishna, the heart becomes pure. More and more pure than however one may chant the holy name of the Lord. Haridas Thakur actually describes in Harinam Chintamani that even if the syllables are broken up, still one gets the benefit. We were discussing yesterday at the farm. For a Muslim, the most abominable thing is a pig. They are forbidden to eat pigs. So for them it's the most abominable thing, a pig. And sometimes it was in days of yore, as the Muslims were conquering different areas and different territories, going through the forest, somehow or other, one boar, a wild pig, would attack a Muslim. And he would call out, Haram! 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 That means, ugh. Actually, I lived in Egypt for a while, in Alexandria and Cairo before I was a devotee. So it was very interesting when I heard Srila Prabhupada speak about this in his books, because the Muslim women, when they're doing something and they don't like it, for instance, they're washing clothes and the water's dirty and they're cutting vegetables and some, you know, worm comes, they go, haram, haram, they say, haram, how horrible. So the Vedic scriptures describe that the Muslim, when he's attacked by the boar, he's being bored by the tusks, he's going, haram, how horrible, he gets liberation. If he doesn't go back to God yet, then he gets liberation, because at the moment of death, he's calling out the holy names of the Lord, even unconsciously. We have to speak, if we chant, with great reverence and attention every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Hare. How much benefit there is. Actually, quite often in Prabhupada's books, the devotee is encouraged to free himself 100% from all material desires. I think that's some of the verses you've been reading recently, Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada is praying to be free from all types of material desires. That's his only blessing he asks from the Lord. So, we are working at that, even if we're not able to free ourselves completely from all material desires, there is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It has been described that Prabhupada said that if you just go on with the Sankirtan movement, preaching Krishna consciousness, even if you're not perfect, at the moment of your death, Prabhupada told one devotee, Prabhupada will incarnate in your mind and take you back to Godhead. The example has been given. Just like a young child, he goes to the store to purchase some candy. So in his hand is 50 cents, and the piece of candy costs $1.50. But he's very eager for that candy. He really wants it. So he goes there and he shows the shopkeeper, 50 cents for the candy. So the shopkeeper, out of his compassion, he says, all right, 50 cents, take the candy. He makes up whatever money is not there. But similarly, we spend our whole lives performing this Sankirtan Yoga, preaching the Lord Chaitanya. And preaching takes on many varieties of activities in Krishna consciousness. We have our frontline soldiers, and we have our soldiers in the background supporting the frontliners by publishing and printing books and taking care of the temples and dressing the beautiful form of Shishi Gauri Pai to inspire the Sankirtan devotees. How could we go out on Sankirtan unless we could take the darshan of Shishi Gauri Pai every day? Well, look at their beautiful photo. In this way, the pujaris are also doing a very essential service in the Sankirtan movement. Even the devotees who are keeping the grounds nice, who are cooking for the devotees, everyone's part is equally important. If we always remember that this is a missionary movement for preaching, then we'll have a spirit like you have in this temple, a very healthy Krishna conscious spirit, because everybody in this temple wants to preach, because you have a good temple president. Temple president, Giri! Vidaraja, Giri! So, that is our life and soul. Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later. Of course, once in a while we can go to India and go to Mayapur and Vrindavan, but actually, Sankirtan devotee, he feels at home on the street, or going towards the door, or flying to all kinds of obscure parts of the world, like New Guinea and Kuwait, places that a devotee, generally a devotee, would not even think of going. A bhajananandi would never think of going to Kuwait, which is full of bomb killers. Actually, Bhagavatam describes that in the age of Kali, the Brahmin killers take birth in the desert. I hope there's no Muslims nearby. They take birth. So, a devotee, he's never interested in associating with materialistic people, but to speak of those who are very sinful, addicted to, well, previous activities, perhaps of killing Brahmanas in this lifetime, killing the cow, against the principles of Vedic culture, deity worship, etc. But because a devotee goes to preach to them, he is always protected. There is a rival.
Just like we're enlivened in the temple, worshiping the beautiful form of Sri Sri Gauri Thai. We become inspired by chanting and dancing in front of them, hearing their transcendental attributes in Bhagavatam class and Bhagavad Gita class, and then we become fired up, and then we go out and preach Krishna consciousness like anything. And we feel just as much at home on the street as we do in the temple. Why is that? Because we're executing the order of Guru and Gauranga. And that is our life and soul. Prabhupada said one cannot separate the instruction of his spiritual master from his life, just as one cannot separate the soul from the body, otherwise there is death. So when one is actually fulfilling the instruction of his spiritual master in Lord Chaitanya, that's when he feels the most enlivened. That's when he feels the most secure. So when the Sankirtan devotee is out there knowing how much Prabhupada wanted us to preach all over the world, he feels at home. In the Vedic age, the Tyagis, the Yogis, the Gyanis, they would go to the Himalayas and perform some sacrifices, some penances. But in this age, the devotees of the Lord, they look for big, congested cities, full of factories and smoke, and people who are in ignorance, and passion, and even goodness, and big masses of people walking down the street. Just like the yogi previously, he would look, oh, this is perfect. A quiet little hermitage, here in the forest, with little birds, nice little soft grasses, and clean, pure air, and pure water, and nice fruits for eating. And then he would sit down, and he would meditate. This is beyond me. With a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as soon as his spiritual practices are over, just like a lion, boom, he opens the door. Where are they? Where are those conditioned souls? Prabhupada said a devotee is like a lamb at home and a lion on the chase. At home, our Sankirtan devotees are exhibiting all the wonderful qualities of peacefulness, sense control, etc. But as soon as the Sankirtan begins, they exhibit the topmost qualities. Tikshada, Garunika, Suridam, Sardadehinam. Devotees become tolerant in the face of so many obstacles and threats and abuse and insult, exhibiting their great qualities as Vaishnavas. Tikshada, Garunika, they become merciful. Well, you have insulted me, but still you take this book, you're such an intelligent person, thank you very much. Tikshada, Garunika, Suridam, Sardadehinam. They're friendly to every living entity, they won't even step on an ant. Devotees are so merciful. They won't even harm an ant. And they're always thinking about the welfare of all the conditioned souls. So even if a demon comes along, a devotee taxes his brain. How can I, missing the punches, how can I deliver this person? Remember one time we were on Sankirtan on the Boulevard Saint-Michel in Paris. And one big demon, he was 10 feet tall. Not quite 10 feet tall, but he was pretty tall, taller than me. Big, strong fellow with red beard and red hair and fire. No, red hair. And he came up, we were having a Sankirtan party. So I was distributing all these pieces of all of them. So he came up with a big karate kick. He kicked the tray in the air. Everything fell down on the ground. And then he went for some of the ladies. He picked up one lady and put up her against the wall. And I came right behind him. This is a true story. Just like in the movies, I swung him around, I took a swing, and I missed. And I thought, uh-oh. That's not how it happens in the movies. But, by Krishna's grace, he slipped and lost his balance, and he fell on the ground. And I straddled the poor fellow. I said, if you ever do that again, I'll make mud of you. So he was looking up, and he began to shake. And I was thinking, yes, just see. I'm much smaller than him, but he's afraid of me. And in his anxiety, he began picking up the olive. He was so much anxiety, he didn't know what. Eating a halava like this. Then he got up, he'd eaten about 25 pieces of halava, and he started backing away. He was very much afraid. Very good. I looked around to get some recognition from the devotees, and behind me were 20 devotees with sticks, rasangas, carpets. So I felt a little bit shy because actually I realized I wasn't the one that really scared him off. But I realized that he was so fortunate that he had taken prasadam. So even in the face of great obstacles, devotees are fearless. They keep preaching. Friendly to all living entities. Madhyamarakari, the second. Madhyamarakari means one who goes out of the temple. Prabhupada said these temples are bases for preaching. They're not for eating and sleeping. After the morning program, everyone out or attend the deities or the administration, but everyone goes to work, no eating and sleeping. So they are bases for the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when we go out of the temple, like Yamadakari, Krishna means he's worshiping the deity, but he doesn't see the Lord in the heart of every living entity. That is Madhyamadakari. Kanishka, he just sees the Lord in his service. But Madhyam is more elevated. Madhyamarakari means he sees the Lord, he sees the devotee, he sees the demon, and he sees the innocent. And he relates to them accordingly. The Lord he worships with all his heart and soul. He makes friendship with the devotees. He preaches to the innocent. And generally he avoids the demons. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful that even he engages the demons. Then he engages the demons, because they simply hear, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And they become purified. Sometimes they even try to avoid that. They make us close the windows, so they can stay in this nasty material world, birth after birth after birth, not get the holy name. But still they have to talk in their houses. Oh, this Hare Krishna all the time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. When are they going to stop? Call the police, call the Krishnas. Six times you chanted the holy name. Shishi Gauri Kai, Kira Bhagavad Gita. One time we were in Paris, and Srila Prabhupada was visiting us, and we were going on Harinam, trying to invite people to Srila Prabhupada's program at the South Playal, one of the theaters. This was 1974, I think. We went on Sankirtan and we were chanting and dancing. It was very blissful. I remember one old lady, way far away, she saw the Sankirtan party. So she put her fingers in her ears like this. And she walked past the Kirtan party. She couldn't hear a thing, you know. And she got some distance away. And then when we came back to the temple, we went to Prabhupada's room for darshan. Prabhupada always liked to associate with his Sankirtan devotees, his disciples who were preaching. It was always so enlightening for Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, he said, when the Sankirtan devotees come back, you call them to my room. So when we came back, we were in Prabhupada's room, and then he said, so, how was the Sankirtan today? So how was the Sankirtan